This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Good evening. It's Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community. This is Worldwide Wave. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight in the studio, Damien's here.
Hello.
Sarah's here too.
Hello.
Dean's here.
G'day, Matt.
And I am Matt. Now, it's Anzac Day. It's a day of deep respect and a day of solemn remembrance. However, is it a day of remembrance that scarcely reflects LGBTI military members across the years and through the many wars as our Defence Force wrestles with the topic of diversity?
What was it like to hide your sexuality and risk covert surveillance on your life simply because you were gay?
What difference did it make to have the Army head speak up for diversity?
How far along is our Defence Force on the path to LGBTI inclusion? Joining us to march with pride this Anzac Day in the studio with us shortly is Stuart Martin, board member and Melbourne coordinator of DEFCLIS, the Defence LGBTI Information Service. And to set the scene for a discussion of diversity and inclusion in the Defence Forces, here's an excerpt from former Chief of Army's David Morrison's firebrand speech in 2013.
Categorically, many times that the Army has to be an inclusive organisation in which every soldier, man and woman, is able to reach their full potential and is encouraged to do so. Those who think that it is okay to behave in a way that demeans or exploits their colleagues have no place in this Army. Our service has been engaged in continuous operations since 1999 and in its longest war ever in Afghanistan. On all operations, female soldiers and officers have proven themselves worthy of the best traditions of the Australian Army. They are vital to us maintaining our capability now and into the future. If that does not suit you, then get out.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Dede Utomo from Kayana Santara in Surabaya, Indonesia, speaking on Worldwide Wave.
Everyone knows that song. That's In the Navy by The Village People. And you're, of course, on Worldwide Wave.
Everyone was singing along to that song. We know. Look, had a couple of messages come through. One on the SMS 0427 join 949. It's actually a question for our guests, so I'm going to hold on to that one. But on Facebook, that story we were just talking about, the Christian-based youth homeless shelter, Greg, in a rather satirical comment, says, "Hearts, where did we put them?" Critiquing the Christians for denying a donation from the Portland Gay Men's Chorus.
Even better, they denied the $3,000 because they didn't want the dirty gay money, but then they contacted the local council, the local government, and said, "We're running out of money, please give us more," and ask for $30,000.
If it's gay money, it's not dirty, be spotlessly clean. Such stereotypes. Worldwide Wave. Now, we are joined tonight. It is Anzac Day here across Australia and in New Zealand. We are joined tonight by Stuart Martin, who is a board member and also the Melbourne coordinator for DEFCLIS, the Defence LGBTI Information Service. Welcome, Stuart.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for having me.
You've had a busy day. Tell us what Anzac Day entails for you.
A very early start. Stay in a hotel very close to the shrine, organising a wreath that is in rainbow colours, fittingly. And so I'm up by sort of 4:30, get dressed, meet the people for the dawn service, and then we walk across to the shrine, do the dawn service, and then...
When you're saying we, how many people involved?
Across Australia, it's every capital city in a major basis. So in Melbourne, it fluctuates from year to year depending on people who have posted in. Melbourne isn't, and Victoria is not, a very big footprint for defence anymore. It's all gone to the sharp end of the country. So that's up north.
Right.
The pointy end.
So, you know, it depends on who's available, who's been tasked. You know, some of the guys are away overseas. So, you know, it varies. So dawn service and then a short break and then we lay a wreath, which is we started that in 2015 to commemorate and remember all those LGBTI people who served in silence for many, many decades. And this was a genesis from an event occurred in 1982 when some gay service personnel wanted to lay a wreath at the Shrine of Remembrance on Anzac Day, and Bruce Ruxton, in his most bellicose manner, wouldn't allow them.
So the laying of this wreath is a formally recognised, can I say approved?
You don't need approval. We thought you might, but no, anyone can lay a wreath. And depending on where you are in the country, it can be very, very private, or it can be very public. St. Martin's Place in Sydney is a very public process. Here in Melbourne, you can lay a wreath at the Shrine of Remembrance, and you don't need permission. And there's plenty of places you can do that.
For those of our younger listeners, Bruce Ruxton was the head of the RSL for many,
yes,
many years.
Yes,
and a very very fond of the media, Bruce Ruxton, and until, I think it was, the 90s he finally retired? It was a bit later than that?
I think he was sort of gently pushed off the cliff, to be polite, and he then moved to the sunny climates of Queensland.
Where he should have been all along.
Yeah, it much more suited to some of the Queensland machinations of their societal norms than a lovely Victorian societal norms will say.
Stuart, tell us a bit about your involvement in the military. What made you want to sign up?
Certainly wasn't due to family history, although I had an aunt who served in the Second World War, and my grandfather served, but that was pretty much the norm in those times. I didn't have any interest in the military, but as a kid, having my radio, I wired it up to the clothesline. I lived in country Western Australia, just as you do, and it suddenly found it boosts the reception of my radio exponentially, and there were some Air Force Mackie jets flying over. So that was the only interest I had in the military, and it was just happenstance that I got to meet some people who were in the Air Force. I just had the chance to talk to them about what they did, and they asked me what I was doing, and they said, "Oh, yeah, you could join. You know, we'd love to have some males who are in nursing." So I thought, "Oh, okay." So I sort of mulled over it, but didn't really do much about it. And one day I went past the recruiting in Perth and just popped in. And it was within about 6 or 7 months I was commissioned in.
Fully signed up.
Yes, just like that.
And when you decided to join up, was your sexuality a decision factor in that process?
No. I was a pretty prolific sort of sports person, playing soccer in West Australia at a young age, quite a high standard, and I knew I was gay, but I was quite happy not to be out doing that. And this, we're talking late, 79, 80. There wasn't that push to be out. So for me, I really enjoyed what I was doing, and I was quite happy just to have that on the sidelines. You know, playing a lot of soccer, I was coaching kids as well, so not a lot of time anyway. And then there's study and work. So it was easy to just work through that in the military. I don't remember the recruiting process anyone ever saying, "By the way, are you a homosexual?"
It wasn't a box to tick.
No, it wasn't. No, so. Yeah, I didn't think it was a barrier joining.
We've got a heap more questions. Mm-hmm. We've got some questions coming in on 0427 join 049. So keep them coming. We'll get to those just very shortly. One comment I did want to, Jamie from Moorabbin. Oh, please, in the Navy? How predictable. That's Worldwide Wave.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427 joy 949. Or email onair@joy.org.au.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to Worldwide Wave. Lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9.
Yes, that's Cher with If I Could Turn Back Time, which we're playing tonight because it's all about the military. And for those of you who remember the video, it features Cher prancing around on a leotard.
It was on a cannon.
On a cannon, quite famously, on an aircraft carrier with lots of cheering soldiers.
Actually, no, it was on the USS New Jersey, which is a pocket battleship, and it's actually on a turret of a gun.
Yeah, it was very controversial at the time. But I reckon the Navy boys on that ship, they were having a ball. They were dancing. Yeah.
That is, of course, the voice of Stuart Martin, tonight's guest, who knows all about these things. Despite not being part of, you know, being part of the Air Force rather than the Navy. So there you go.
Lots of messages coming in, and a few, let me say, there's a few grenade questions coming your way, Stuart, which is really good. But first of all, 317 says, a lovely sentiment. This is to do with the rainbow wreath being laid. Very classy indeed, lest we forget those ugly conservative values. Sadly, we may not have learnt from history looking at world events today. And Sam would play War is Stupid by the Culture Club. We'll have a look at that one, Sam. Not quite sure we've got that one, but we'll give it a go. I'm going to save a couple of those questions because I want to talk a bit about where our Defence Force has come from. It's fair to say that in terms of LGBTI issues, we went through a period where there wasn't such a... wasn't a very positive time. Indeed, if you were gay, you weren't allowed to be. You were actually kicked out of the Defence Forces. I was reading that there were also witch hunts.
Indeed,
by the military police. Tell us, what do you know about that?
In my time, it was certainly illegal to serve in the military if you're gay or lesbian.
Just quickly, when did that change?
In 1992, Paul Keating had a very robust conversation in cabinet, and there were certainly... some very tightly drawn lines in the cabinet, and he forced the opinion that this is wrong and we should do this and change it, so he did.
So when did the witch hunts stop at the same time?
Very soon after, but what was lacking was the attitudinal change that organisations need to take. There's one thing the government saying this will occur, but it takes time for people to believe and to lead that change, and it took I'd say 10 to 12 years before we started to see people being treated the same compared to heterosexual couples, even if they're de facto.
At the time, was there even resentment from the upper parts of the military that the government would decree this, that would, basically telling them what to do?
Yes, I think there was certainly resistance, is the word I would use. Mm-hmm. And somewhat negativity. It's unusual that the government of the day interferes with the running of the military. An example of that would be the fact that the Defence ADF is very, very, very supportive of trying to attract people of talent, not people who are white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant. Defence wants to attract people who can do the job and they want to get the best applicants. They don't care what your sexuality is or what your gender is or what your ethnicity is or what your religion is. What they want you to be able to do is to develop and learn and understand and then operationalise defence values. And you need to be able to do that. You need to check your values, which may be different to those at the door when you go in. But the key is to attract the best people. If you don't live and breathe those values, you then don't attract the best people. And when we're talking about people flying aircrafts that are, $130, $140 million each, you want the best person to do that. You want to lead, you want to have people who can lead people into difficult conflict situations and get them out of that. And that requires the best talent.
It sounds fair, but going back to the witch hunts, how did they, what form did they take? Pitchforks and flaming torches? Or?
Close. There has been a long history of LGBTI service. I can go back to the Greeks if you want to, but let's remain in the Australian context. always been lesbians and gay people. It has always been glossed over, the Bruce Ruxins of the world saying, oh, there's never been homosexuals in the armed forces. You know, how could you possibly have those? They would disrupt good service and conduct and, you know, and degrade the unit's ability to fight, blah, 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 blah. Rubbish, absolute rubbish. People have always served, and it's clearly evidenced in history. What they used to do was they had different ways. One of the ways was to hang around gay nightclubs and known beats. And when in the 80s, if someone came with suspiciously short hair, you know, you must be homosexual or police, because no one else had short hair in the years of the mullet particularly. So they would actually then entrap people, or they would arrest you, and then they'd interrogate you. And they'd want to know, you know, they'd force admission out of you. When you did that, they did want to know who else you knew. And the worst part of that process was, within a few days, you were out of the military. But at the same time, you also couldn't use drugs in the military. But there were clearly cases where people would say, oh, it was my first time, I was just experimenting, I won't do it again, trust me, oh, you can stay. So the utter hypocrisy of that. You've got someone who's serving at a great capacity, not endangering anyone, and the other hand, got someone using drugs, they get to stay? You know, it's a mockery.
Would you rather your $30 million fighter jet being flown by someone who enjoys some hot guy and guy action, or someone who's as high as a kite?
Yeah. Yes.
Hopefully there's other options than those two. Yes. You talked about the process of change and cultural change and taking time. We did play at the top of the show a small piece by the Chief of Army, David Morrison, in 2013, and his very powerful message that the standard you walk past is the standard you accept, and that he expected a standard that was acceptance of diversity, wanted diversity in the armed forces. How important is it to have the leader of the Defence Forces articulating that in such a public way?
I think it's paramount to what your organisation is and what you used to stand for and what societal values you also stand for. The ADF has to mirror Australian society because that's who it's there to protect, you know, who we are as a country. General Morrison wasn't just talking about diversity. He was also talking about misogyny, domestic violence, alcohol abuse, all issues that were very pertinent in the defence at that time. But his message is very clear. To serve in the military is a special honour. You don't get conscripted. You volunteer to join. You choose to be in that. And when you choose to be in something, there are values and things you must accept. And there were certainly people in the military who could not and would not do that. They're outside in society as well. Dare I mention, you know, people like Miranda Devine, who writes for the Herald Sun, have their own particular values, and they believe theirs are right, and they won't counsel in this discussion or a different opinion. But in the military, it's a different job. You know, you're in a command control system. You have to follow orders, and you have to have set values and requirements, and you have to have rules of conflict, rules of engagement when you're actually overseas on fighting in a war. There are certain things you must do. So with that context in mind, it becomes very clear why he said what he said and how he said it. And the important thing to remember is you can read the words, watch it on YouTube. It's extremely powerful message when you look at the emotion he exhibits when he talks. He was extremely angry and fed up with the behaviour of a small amount of people who are affecting the good order and discipline of the ADF.
Indeed. We are going to post that on our Facebook page, W3Joy. Lovely messages coming in. James in Canberra says, such an important segment. Thanks for sharing. 317 says, great interview. And Sam's liking it as well. We've got your questions coming up for Stuart very shortly. This is Worldwide Wave.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
It's Worldwide Wave, Joy's international LGBT news and current affairs show. We take you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight we've got Stuart Martin from DefGLIS, the Defence LGBTI Information Service, in the studio. Stuart, you're sending the SMSs off crazily. 0427 join 949. Let's start out with Sam. Says, is it respectful to have Anzac themes at gay clubs today? Do we have to sexualise everything for profit? So this is all about military-themed parties and that sort of thing. Got an opinion on that one?
I have a personal opinion.
Yep.
It's not something I'm comfortable with, but having said that, we live in a secular society that... It cherishes the right to make decisions and to live your life freely. I think it's crossing a line, but...
If they had a military theme party at another time of year, would that be better or different?
Well, it does happen other times of the year. I think what I would say to those two venues is to think carefully about the day. It's much like the protester at St. Martin's Place this morning who shouted out during the minute of silence. There's a time to protest and there's a time to do things, but you have to think about context. You have to think about what is Anzac Day, what does it mean to people, what does it mean to our society, and then think, okay, what are we achieving by putting the dollar in front of that?
Okay, perfect segue into a question from 317. Sadly, I think Anzac Day has lost its meaning and is a bittersweet day for many families. Has it been reduced to a day of drinking alcohol and numb feelings?
Has it ever not been a day of drinking alcohol and numb feelings?
I think there was certainly a history of self-medication from people who came back in the First World War and the Second World War, and even in Vietnam. A case in point, I've only had two beers today. So, no, it doesn't have to be a day of alcohol, but let me ask you, the listener, of all the social events that we do in our lives, and a friend of mine who comes from Singapore said this to me, you Australians have alcohol in every social event that you do. Think about it.
Even in church?
Yep. Think about when we socialise, there is alcohol and generally involved. Alcohol to excess is a problem and we need to address as a society. But as a social lubricant, it's fantastic. I think Anzac Day is changing. We have to remember that it came about from horrendous, unfathomable losses of life, often at folly, to what we have now. Is very different. We're not sending tens of thousands of people to die in a war conflict. But we have to remember that when you have a war, there is effect, and people do suffer. And Anzac Day is about not only remembering those who go before us, and those, in my perspective, who served in silence, but also remembering those who are there at the moment, and then understanding why Anzac Day is central to our Australian identity. And it's not a warmongering identity, and it's not an overly patriotic approach like America does have. We have one day where the ADF and veterans are focal in their minds. We don't have a military parade day on Australia Day. We hardly have any military involvement in social events in Australia compared to other countries.
What about people who don't serve in silence? And we had a question in about Kate McGregor, who was very out as a trans person in the military. What impact do you think that has, positive or negative?
I think in society it shows that just because you're different or you're transgender, it doesn't mean that you can't do things in life. It means that you can get to do things in the military based on your inherent capacity to do the job and the requirements of the job. It's great that there are role models out there who can present to the rest of society and then to young people that, the world is still your oyster. It's great that the ADF is so open and supportive and affirming. There are lots of employers out there who are not significantly in private life. So that's certainly a big issue. It's great to have people, and I wish I had the opportunity to be open about my sexuality when I was serving. I may not have left.
Now, thinking about that openness I know that you've marched in the Anzac Day parades, mm-hmm. and you've also marched in Mardi Gras. Tell us about the different emotions and what you feel in those two very different marches.
Anzac Day is a solemn event where you hopefully are introspective of what's around you and who is around you and what's happened in the time that you served. I had friends who died. And it's very different to what Mardi Gras is. Mardi Gras is a celebration of life, and it's that larrikin spirit of Australia. We will make a paper mache of Amanda Vanstone and all those sort of things and prime ministers. The two are very different events, but are still very important to what is the psyche of Australia.
Do they both evoke pride in you as an LGBT person in the Defence Forces?
Anzac Day, I think, for me, is a very fundamentally private experience where I think and I take the time to think about not only the people I knew who served with and what happened to them, but the others who I didn't know but who lost their lives and their lives were affected, whereas Mardi Gras is a totally different thing. As I say to friends who haven't done it before and they're going to do it, at the end of the parade of Mardi Gras, you'll have the silliest grin on your face that you can't get off because it's such a positive, affirming experience where...
Always gets a big crowd. The Defence Forces always get a huge crowd.
Yeah. But Anzac Day is about a whole different things, about thinking and reflecting. Yes, you can be very proud of your service, and some people do that, but I think for me, it's about being reflective of my experiences and those who went before me.
Stuart, internationally, how does Australia's military or defence force compare to other countries, comparable countries, I suppose, in terms of acceptance of LGBTI people?
I think we're doing very well. The four big countries would be, surprisingly, the United States, New Zealand, ourselves, and the United Kingdom. We're quite early in that process. There's been some international conferences. I think in many ways we are leading the integration and support and acceptance. Mind you, it started in 1992. But if you compare and contrast New Zealand, whose experiences have been much more recent, and they are at the same point, if not slightly more advanced than we are. Some of that comes down to, I think, societal norms and how conservative backlash could be and is. We hear from Miranda Devine. She wrote an article recently about the pride pin that General Morrison, his own idea, he introduced and set that up, full of mistakes and lack of journalist integrity by checking her information, and quite an ugly piece. But that's what I expect from the Daily Telegraph.
John Howard's favourite newspaper.
Yes, well.
Great messages coming in. Daniel says, credit where credit is due. Great interview. Sam says, fantastic man. Well done. 317, I love Kate. She's got a great military mind. We are talking all things being gay in the military in Australia here, and this is World Wide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
It's Romana Schlesinger from the Rainbow Pride Bratislava in Slovakia for World Wide Wave.
Now, a big thank you to our guest tonight, Stuart, board member for DEFGLIS, the Defence Gay and Defence LGBTI Information Service. Stuart, give us a quick wrap-up of DEFGLIS and what you do.
Okay, DEFGLIS' job is to provide support to current and former ADF personnel and family and friends, as well as those who work in the APS. So we do social events and we do Mardi Gras, and then we have an aspect where we do Anzac Day. We also do a lot of work advocating within the ADF, both in reviewing and recommending changes to policy, presenting policy, but also advocating to Chief of Army, Navy and Air Force and Chief of Defence.
And the website is?
Defglist.com.au. Yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you to all the many, many, many messages we got tonight. Honestly, Stuart, we should have you on more often. So James, Daniel, Jamie, Sam, 317 from Facebook. We had Andrew, Yaz, Margaret, Carol, James and a heap more. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And
podcaster Mark.
Sorry, Mark. And on poor the front
Mark,
desk
he'll be
tonight,
devastated.
Gordon, and stay tuned for Urban Dreaming coming up after this with Sue Rummy and Miss Elanius. Stories of resilience, survival, and connecting with culture and spirituality.
And we'll catch you next week on Worldwide Wave. Taking us out is
Two Tribes by Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
We'll see you next week on Worldwide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.